Winslow Wheeler is the director of the Strauss Military Reform Project at the Center for Defense Information. He joins us now with his take on what might happen next. Mr. Wheeler, great to have you back.
For having me.
So this plane, of course, is already expensive and late and everything else. What do you think will happen now that these technical problems have shown up?
Well, what we've been reading about the structural problems is just another bump in a long, bumpy road. We should expect more. The next major decision is Secretary Panetta's budget decision. And you have to expect that the F-35 is going to be a major bill payer. It's unclear whether he's simply going to reduce the production by or cancel one of the three models or how much he's going to delay further production before the test program is complete, which is one of the more insane aspects of this airplane.
So why is this coming out now? Why is this just now being caught?
It's not just coming out now. It's been some smart people, not including myself, predicted this back in the 1990s and the early 2000s. And since the characteristic of this airplane is an ultra-complex, multi-service, multi-role airplane bought in a acquisition program that sought to purchase hundreds of models before the test program is complete, that kind of insane design and acquisition plan made these kinds of problems inevitable.
Now, there's still, I guess, some debate over whether we can get along in a military sense with or without it. In your view, is that debate pretty much settled at this point, presuming it could be built properly and on time?
Well, the conventional view is that there is no alternative to this airplane. That is keyed to a belief about stealth that is not supported by the facts. The belief is that stealth is a characteristic that makes it invisible to radars. It's not. It's invisible. It's less visible against some radars at some angles and some other techno wizardry that has never performed well in combat. If you take those realities into account, there are lots of other viable alternatives. There are the F-15 and F-16 and F-18 are all still in production. Depending on what kind of airplane you want, you can adjust what's coming out of the production lines right now to address the needs of the Air Force and the Navy. The Marines have a real problem. They've been dedicated to this short takeoff and vertical landing concept for a long time. All that means is that the airplanes are more expensive, more complex, have less payload, and less range.
So is one of the overlying problems then just simply it's expensive, the cost overruns?
It's both unaffordable and a huge disappointment in performance. It's barely an improvement over existing models of airplanes. The smart thing to do would be to put this airplane out of its misery. The Pentagon's managers don't have the will, let's call it, to do that right now. They are going to torture the airplane some more. They're going to reduce the production by, delay some things. All that's going to do is make the airplane more expensive and even later than it is now. That's a Band-Aid approach, which is not going to solve the fundamental problem that this airplane presents. If this airplane is provided to our tactical air forces, our capabilities in the air will significantly decline.
We're speaking with Winslow Wheeler, director of the Strauss Military Reform Project at the Center for Defense Information. There's another alternative that's been bandied about, and that is restarting production of the F-22, which is also a super high-tech type of plane, but that was on the cusp of being able to be produced in quantities where the price might be a little more reasonable. What about that idea?
Well, you're certainly right that they're talking about that, and some would love to do that. It's an absolutely horrible idea. That airplane is literally twice the cost of an F-35, the total program unit cost is now up to just about $400 million per airplane, if you can believe it. Its performance is vastly overrated based on some strange exercises the Air Force ran in Alaska a few years ago, where it generated a really favorable exchange ratio, but didn't test the airplane against its own vulnerabilities, and therefore, you know, came out looking just fine. To go down that road would actually make our problems worse. It would accelerate the shrinking and aging of our Air Force inventory, because you cannot buy that even more complex airplane at the kinds of costs that we'd need to be able to replace the existing inventory.
Now, the foreign sales have been a big selling point and big component of the whole F-35 program. What about our allies that are lining up or have lined up, said they want to buy this? If it's canceled, then what do we do for them?
Well, you're right. Lockheed has been very skillful at getting 8 to 10 foreign purchasers on the hook by getting them to invest in this airplane and to commit funds for it. And as this airplane gets increasingly late and more expensive, a lot of those foreign purchasers are having the beginning of second thoughts. They also have alternatives. They have a wider range of alternatives than we do, in addition to purchases of F-16s and F-18s and F-15s. They also have available to them the European Typhoon and the Swedish Gripen and the French Rafael. So they're actually in a better position to reconsider their purchase of this airplane and to consider other alternatives. None of those alternatives are particularly cheap, but they make far more sense than the F-35.
So if the F-35 were to go away, is it your opinion that the United States could maintain its necessary reach and military superiority for the new emerging spots in the world, say Iran, I don't know, China, places like that, for the foreseeable future?
Oh, absolutely. We'd be far better off with a newer, more capable Air Force, if you look at the real capabilities of this airplane rather than the advertised ones. We should also, by the way, proceed with a properly conceived program to modernize our air forces. We certainly do need replacements for the F-16, the A-10, and the F-15. The F-35 is not it. A properly conceived program would compete several prototypes in a combat-ready configuration and would not commit to any full-rate production until after the completion of the operational test program. If we were able to successfully design an airplane like we did with the F-16 and the A-10, for example, we'd have a far more capable tactical air force. That's certainly the way we should go, and we should certainly not settle for the degraded capability of the F-35.